I'm gonna let Larry do the introductions before we get going or after, but I just wanted to just share one quick little story, and I think I shared at church one time before, but I actually talked to Chuck a little bit earlier today, and the first time I ever met Chuck, I was a first year seminary student, and I was at Fuller Seminary, and didn't really know much about. About prayer, I mean, I prayed, but about intercession. And I was taking a class with Peter Wagner in school, and he mentioned about intercessors, and it kind of just got me intrigued because I was a pastor, and Wagner basically specifically said that there's actually people in the body of Christ that God calls them to pray, and a lot of times they pray for pastors. And so I was like, man, I wouldn't mind some of those, And so I lifted my hand in class, and I asked Peter, I said, "Hey, where do you get these intercessors? How do they pray for you?" And Peter just stopped the class, and he said, "Let's just pray." And so he prayed for us. 2 weeks later, there was an international congress on prayer and spiritual warfare as a church on the way. And a good friend of mine was on staff with Wagner, and so he got us basically into the back room. And I have to apologize beforehand. I always thought that charismatics were really weird, and that they didn't know the Bible and stuff like that. And so I remember going into this room, and so my friend brought me in there, and there was like this whiteboard. I don't know if you remember the whiteboard, and had all these verses and everything, and they're all like minor prophets. Like verses that you guys don't even know, and that I was not very aware of either. And all these minor prophets on the board, and it just really got me thinking, like, wow, these guys really know the Bible, And so for the next 2 hours, Chuck was so gracious to me personally, and I was there with my notepad, and I was writing away. And he would literally go from, like, he'd be in the middle of leading the meeting, and he'll walk over here, and he'll, like, pray over, Alaska, something, and then people would get really excited, and they would pray, and people would cry and fall down. I'm like, "Oh, this is crazy." And then he'd come over to me, and I was sitting there, and he'd go like, "Well, this is a word of prophecy, and this is what I just did, right?" And then he'd go, and then he'd do something crazy, and then 2 minutes later, he'd come over to me and says, "Well, this is exactly what I just did." And I was just taking notes frantic. I was there for like 2 hours, just absorbing the atmosphere. And I told him earlier, and I didn't know that he was so famous. And so, because then, I'm thinking, now that I look back and says, wow, Chuck Pierce gave me a one-on-one. You know what I mean? I just thought he was just some other guy, but man, this is the man, and he really, and just, which I think goes mostly to just his heart to want to give and to serve and just a little guy like me. Well, I was so blessed, and that really got me on the road to learning about prayer and intercession, about the prophetic and all these things. And so, real blessing. So, all to say, I'm really incredibly thrilled to have Chuck and his team here. And so, without further ado, let me introduce Larry, and he's going to do the rest for us.
Hey, I'm not going to sing the Clampett song. my wife and I are here because of this man. He commissioned us to come here and sent us. We thought we were headed to Italy when I retired. And two of Chuck's favorite words are, "but God." So God had different plans, and here we are with you. We've had the privilege of traveling with him. In fact, that's how we got to Solomon's Porch when we were ministering as part of this team. I'd like to introduce the team to you first. I'll start with Ann Tate. Ann, if you would just please stand up as I call you. Ann walks in an incredible anointing in the prophetic. She's an amazing woman and can have such insight and tremendous impact in people's lives. I have not had the privilege of knowing Trish, but for about 45 minutes, she and her husband pastor a church in New Jersey. So, Trish, if you'd stand up, please. Next, I'm going to introduce a couple. John and Cheryl Price also have a tremendous impact worldwide, but they're from New Jersey, and their ministry has really been having a phenomenal impact in some of the darkest areas in the universities on the Eastern Seaboard. Chris, I've met him before, Chris. But again, I have not had the privilege of getting to know him, but I'm hoping we will. And my brother Raymond, we've known him for several years. Next, I'm also going to introduce them as a couple, Robert and Linda Heidler, and they're from Denton, Texas. another lady that walks in the prophetic like no one else and has got such tremendous insight to give a message individually to whoever comes up to her. And Robert is probably, in my opinion, bar none, one of the top teachers in the world. Knows more about the Hebraic roots and Israel than anybody that I know of. He's only got one handicap. If you take away his PowerPoint, he can't teach. Brian thought he was going to get out of it. Brian is Chuck's right-hand man right in the back there. He is the glue that holds it all together. And last but not least, a man that I've been admiring for a long time since I first heard him speak. Like P. Sam, the prophetic, and I, it was like someplace in outer space. And once I started studying and really getting touched by God, I started to take a look at this man and his life and the impact that he's got. He's probably got more flight hours than I do as a pilot. He's not a pilot. Because I don't know of a city on earth that he has not visited and had a tremendous impact. He's the president of Global Spheres Incorporated, the president of Glory of Zion, based out of Denton, Texas, and also the watchman for Global Harvest Ministries. Besides that, he has got a heart bigger than this building and loves to hear from God and to teach us about what God is saying. The Issachar anointing on this man, again, hands down, he's way up there. So, my friend, my brother, and it is such a privilege to have him here to visit us. Please welcome Dr. Chuck Pierce.
Wow. What a blessing. What a blessing. You know, that word famous, you never know what that means, you know. But it is really awesome to be here. When Larry and Becky told me that they had joined this particular place of ministry, and then when they mentioned Sam's name, I thought, you know, I know that young man. And then I remember that prayer meeting. I remember that prayer meeting just as if it was yesterday. Now, that's really key when you move in the prophetic, because even though that was 1995, I could tell you what was being prophesied in that prayer meeting. And so it becomes very, very important that you learn how to hold that word in your heart, watch for how God brings things full circle, knowing that there's reasons, and then for them to come here, connect, and then here we all are tonight. Look at somebody and just tell them you're at the right place at the right time. Now, tomorrow night we have a meeting. Sam, why don't you tell them where that meeting is tomorrow night?
Tomorrow, you had an auto register, but it's at Island ECC on the first floor at 7:30. Okay, and so we're joining with a bunch of other churches here, and it's going to be translated into Cantonese, right, on the stage as well.
Now, I do go a lot, and we just came from Italy and Israel, and so I was back at home for 2 days, and then we all flew here. The team flew here to meet. Robert and Linda were ministering, and Robert were ministering in Ecuador, so we're all sort of meeting in Hong Kong. That's the way our life operates a lot of times. But I knew this time I had to be in Hong Kong right now. And so that's the way that I get up and seek the Lord. That's what makes your life that looks real complex when you have six kids, seven grandkids. You know, you have all these ministries going. You have Peter and Doris Wagner who are over worldwide. They probably have as much worldwide impact as any leaders that you're responsible for. It's just real simple. You just have to be where you're supposed to be. And so I knew it was important for me to be in China this year, and I knew I would only have time to be in Hong Kong. So When Larry and Becky were visiting, I said, you know, I have to come there this year. And so we're here on a prayer mission, praying for you and praying for this particular, the nation of China, and particularly this city and your impact that you'll be having. And, of course, I believe you impact the world based upon your knowledge of the kingdom. So tell somebody next to you that you're glad they are in the kingdom of God. Now I wrote a book called, I've written a bunch of books, but I wrote a book about the future war of the church. That book came out in the year 2001 before 9/11 happened. And it shared what the church would be going through over the next 7 years, predicting what would be happening. And then I wrote another book that is its follow-up book called God's Unfolding Battle Plan. And then in 2006, we came to China to meet with leaders. And that meeting was very, very key. And, of course, we've been back since, all of us, a couple of times in various places here in China. But in that book, I explain how China becomes predominantly the most influential nation in the world. And in 1986, God visited me. And in that visitation, he showed me what would come in 10-year increments up through the year 2026. In doing that, the nation he focused on was the nation of China. What would be happening in China beginning in 96, beginning in 2006, how China would make a shift in 2012 because of your impact that you would come bring to the world by 2016, and then how you enter into one of the some of the greatest clashes worldwide in 2026. So for me to see that so far back before it began to happen, it was very, very important that I stay focused in prayer for you. Now, I have to be very open with you. I have been in prayer for China since 1983. That was when God called me into prayer for your nation and for the people of this nation, and then interacting between this nation and heaven since that time. So it's such an honor every time I have the opportunity to be here to share with you. And so that book, I don't think we brought that book this time when I came, but you can get it off of our web page, and you can really see the impact that you will have and why God is raising up a kingdom people like you right now. This is so key. I met Jennifer, who told me she had a call back to China after being here. You're going to see China impacting the world in ways that no other nation will impact the world. And I don't mean just financially. I mean for kingdom purposes. There are windows open. You are being prepared for that. And I believe that's why we're here this time. Going into now, I am prophetic, so I have to share some things prophetically, and then I'm going to teach and show you some things. And Robert's actually going to come up and show you a couple of things as well before they fly out for Bangkok tomorrow. By May of 2012, China will be more predominantly in the news than what you are right now. And so that's why I knew I needed to be here. Now, my life evolves biblically around God's timetable, which the Bible is written around three main feast times. It's written around Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So every year I very carefully choose before the Lord the course I'm to take that year after Feast of Tabernacles. And even though we live with a different calendar, and I know in Chinese culture you have the Chinese New Year, which is almost just as devoted as any other culture devotes their time. It's like our Christmas that we have in America. But when you're in God's kingdom, you need to know God's timetable. And so this year, after Feast of Tabernacles, I knew I was to go to Rome and then Israel and then come here, because I feel like those three places are very, very, will be some of the most influential places as we enter and progress into this decade ahead. So that's the reason we're here. I just am overwhelmed that you would bless us and give in to our ministry, but I would have come no matter what. I would have paid you to let me come. So it's just our privilege to be here and pray for you. I probably have the best team that could travel worldwide as anyone. Chris's wife is very famous as well. And since we're using that word, Pamela probably travels as much as I do, and she is a worship. She expresses and leads the body of Christ in worship probably more than anybody else worldwide right now. So she is wonderful, wonderful. So maybe they'll get back here. Chris is a wonderful preacher, and Pamela will get you moving. If you'll look on our web, you'll see that. Matter of fact, one of the things I've asked the Lord over the last year, I said, now, Lord, if your kingdom people is a violent people who express worship violently, and that's what causes things to shake up worldwide, you're going to have to show us how to capture that. And we have a new DVD. We have another DVD that we're preparing where the Spirit of God came down, moved on us corporately in a couple of gatherings, and just overtook us. And there you have a couple of thousand people moving as one. You rarely see that type of corporate expression. And Chris's wife, Pamela Hardy, is very key in helping lead corporate expression in worship throughout the world. So it's just a blessing to be here. Now, I did bring the two new books I have, actually the four newest books that we have updated. And this one, you're the first people for me to show this to. How many of you have Worship Warrior, or you've heard of that book? This is the book. They took Worship Warrior, and that book I was asked to write after 9/11 happened, because I made a statement that said the only way we can win the war on earth is to ascend and go up into the heavenly realms. And so Worship Warrior now just got reprinted. It just came in last week. This book is updated now. Every chapter is updated. It has devotions in every chapter, and it has a couple of new chapters in it that helps. Its companion book just came out as well, called Worship as It Is in Heaven. Now, I want to decree that Hong Kong will have a wow-worshipping troop of incredible kingdom people who cannot be shut up in days ahead. And so I thank God for this. Now, another book that I have that probably has, this book has also been updated, but this is still my favorite book that I've written. It's got one of the best chapters on breaking generational iniquity. It's medically researched. My background is in a field called cognitive systems and operations research. So that gives you a little about where I come from before the Spirit of God began to really take me over and do new things with me. And this book is just excellent. Now, those are out there for you. I just brought as many as I could bring just for you. So that's for this church. So any book you buy out there, it goes back to help this ministry move forward. We have two brand new CDs. One is called The Darkness Turns. It's probably one of your best CDs you'll get on prophetic interaction between heaven and earth and how the Spirit of God is moving. And then we have a new CD that just came out about a month ago called Warring Supernaturally. So those are there. Now, I was ministering somewhere and somebody stood up while I was ministering and said, "Do you have a book that won't stress me out?" I'm going to give these to Sam, Pastor Sam, and he'll have those, and you guys will be hearing, and all you worshipers, you grab hold of that. And I said, well, I've got one, and it was a book my wife had helped me write. It's called One Thing. It's just an awesome book. But then Pam, last year, wrote a new book, and she asked me to write the book with her. It's called The Rewards of Simplicity. Because she had a dream, and in the dream, God was giving us each gifts and sending us on a mission. And so the gift he gave her was a box, and on top of the box was the word simplicity. So when she awakened, she began to research that word simplicity, and simplicity is not what you think. It's not just getting all your closets cleaned out and doing all that. Simplicity is linked with vision. How do you see clearly so you can move into your future? That's going to be some of the things we're talking about tonight. And then the opposite of simplicity is anxiety. And so I wrote the portion on anxiety, and she wrote the portion on simplicity. Actually, this has two. You can read either way. If you're very anxious over your future, read my part. If you need to get simplified, you probably need to read my part. And her part just makes sense to us all, and it's very helpful. But, you know, with Lisa having a new baby, you probably will need the rewards of simplicity. So, Pam has to stay very simple because I was actually working into the Soviet bloc countries, being called to the Soviet bloc countries in the 80s. Pam couldn't get pregnant, and we'd been told we'd never have children, and we were at a John Wimber gathering in Dallas, Texas, and in that gathering, the Spirit of God fell, and when he was ministering to pregnant women in the gathering. Well, there was she couldn't get pregnant. And the Spirit of God, while he was ministering to pregnant women, all of a sudden fell on her. She stood up. She looked. She was bright red. Of course, she's a redheaded lady to start with, but her whole face was bright red. She had her hands up. She said, and we were in the Baptist world at that time. So, you know, I raised my hand because I never was a good Baptist, but she was sort of a good Baptist. And all of a sudden, I said, what's going on with you? She said, the Spirit of God is going down through my body. Knocked the clots out of her uterus. She had a disease. She was told she couldn't have children. Right there at that moment, and 2 weeks later, she started her first normal cycle in our 10 years of marriage. And she got pregnant 2 weeks after that and stayed pregnant for 10 years. So... So she had to, and there I'm traveling all over the world. That's probably why I travel, because our house was so full I didn't have a place. And in traveling, she had to learn to raise all those kids and really learn a lot of good lessons. So it's wonderful that we can, she allows me to do what I do, and yet, believe it or not, we now have 7 grandkids. So that just shows you how the Lord has blessed us, and we're still, of course, I'm white-headed, and that's the reason. The more kids you have, the whiter your hair gets. And so it's a real blessing to be here. Now, you're going to hear from Robert later, because as Larry said, Robert is probably one of the best teachers worldwide that we have in the body of Christ. Robert's written several books. One is called Messianic Church Arising. We need to get that book to you if you don't have it. That book really represents what the church looks like, becoming one new man. And where Jew and Gentile are coming into their fullness, and in doing that, Israel's becoming jealous. And so that book is very, very important for us. But yet he wrote a book. Robert comes out of Dallas Theological Seminary. And he and Linda, I think, were in the same meeting we were in when Pam got healed and the Spirit of God had fallen on them and they had gotten baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so Robert's got an awesome book called Experiencing the Spirit. And then one book that I'm probably Becky uses in her ministry is called Set Yourself Free. It's a deliverance book that helps you understand how to get free. And, you know, teachers don't always like to counsel, so Robert wrote a book that you could use without him having to talk to you. So we're thankful for people like Becky who loves to minister. Now, let me show you what God is saying to us as I came here. I'm going to share some things. Robert's going to share some things, and I want to share with you. On the plane over, the Lord spoke a word to me for the body of Christ here in Hong Kong. So I want to be sure that we look at that. Now, I feel like right now we are stepping into our future. Look at somebody and say, you've got a good future. Now, the word future, that's a word that you don't find really biblically in that context. The word is expected end. So that means that you have something you are expecting to happen that is greater than where you are right now. In other words, how are you stepping into what will be greater than where you've come from? Because the Lord has plans for us that our latter days will be greater than our former days. So to do that, right now we're having to make certain steps that open up what is called the future. Now, let me show you one verse if you have your Bible with me in Acts 17. I liked what Sam said. He came in that prayer room thinking that, you know, if you were really filled with the Spirit, you were a little on the strange side, which you can be. I can be a little strange. A lot strange. And it's okay because we're supernatural people. But the only thing that keeps you in reality, everybody say reality, is knowing the Word of God as you move in the Spirit. See, it takes both Word and Spirit to produce reality. You can't find reality just by knowing the Word, because the Spirit of God lives in the earth realm, so you have to get to know the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will interact through you with the Word of God for a divine manifestation. Now, this word future becomes a very important word for us. This is where Paul was in Athens, and he was trying to find a touch point over how to preach, because Athens was so filled with demon forces and all these gods and all these statues. See, all you have to do is ride around and look in a city, and the statues you see represent what is in the environment of that city. It represents behind that statue. There's nothing in the statue itself, but behind the statue is a spiritual force. It's called the law of double reference in the Word of God. Because behind it is going to be a spiritual force that God's people is going to have to learn how to contend with. And so here in Acts 17, Paul found this one statue given to the unknown God, and he says to them in verse 24, he says, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. Take a breath. If he didn't give you that breath, you couldn't get it. See, that is what makes us stay very humble before the Lord. Now, how we use that breath becomes what is so important in our life. And it says here, he's made from one blood every nation. In other words, all the nations of the earth are intertwined in a way going back to God's covenant plan for man. He's made every nation from one blood. And see, that's why we can't have prejudice, because we all come out of the same pot. See? And we all look different. We all have a different culture that we grow up in. And because of the adaptations of our bloodlines, we have different features. But as far as God goes, for every man, he has a call for their spirit to come back and come into alignment with him. And the only way you can do that truly is through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times. Now, in the Greek, that's what future means. What that word means is he's determined your pre-appointed time and the boundaries that you dwell in. Now, what does that say to us? When you're at the right place at the right time, the word pre-appointed is pro-horizon. That means that if you're at the right place at the right time, the Spirit of God, when you worship him, can show you into the future. That's what makes us a prophetic people. That is what keeps us from being bound to our past and bound in our present and without the hope of a future. Because if God told you to come tonight to this meeting, he told me to come tonight to this meeting, that means there's something I can hear here tonight that I could not hear by staying in Denton, Texas. Because, if you'll read on, it says, because when you're at the right place at the right time, he is very near to you. And you can grab hold or grasp him. Everybody throw your hand up and say, here I am. That means you can know him in a way you didn't know him before you got here. Now, we have a good future in him. Doesn't matter all the changes going on in the world. We have a good future in him because we can see with his eyes in a way that the world can't see. We can be on the cutting edge. We can be the vanguard. We can be a people that have eyes beyond the natural, so we understand what God's seeing. And once we see what God's seeing, we have a responsibility in the world to say what we see. That's what makes us a prophetic people, Sam. And because of that, the Lord must have a prophetic people in every region of the earth, in every major part of the earth. He seeks to find that people who know how to say what he is seeing, because he doesn't do anything without first telling the prophets. See? So, one of my desires as we move into the next, I would have to say next 6 years into a new wineskin is to see a people who know how to hear and know how to say. Look at somebody and say, I think he's talking about us. So to be here in a vibrant young fellowship like this, other than Larry, what can I say? But you see why Larry and Becky would be here. They're mothers and fathers in the faith. They've learned. God has positioned them here as you learn to hear God in a new way, speak in a new way, and decree in a new way. And now I want to go back to what I originally said to you, because China will be one of the most impacting nations in that the world will know, the impacting nation, beginning by 2016, we have to have prophets in this nation coming out of the city that the world knows, Hong Kong, that knows how to decree what God is saying. Let's thank God he's raising up that prophetic call. Now, let me show you a couple of things. See, every 7 years, a new wineskin forms. So, I believe now you are on the verge of seeing this new wineskin form. I'll be sharing a little more about that tomorrow and tomorrow night with us. And then we're going to have a time of anointing as we move forward. But we, right now, the new wineskin is rising up in the church in China. Now, being here with you, I also felt like the Lord chose this place. You represent what looks like is being poured into that wineskin. Now, let me prophesy over this man right here. And the Lord would say to you, son, I am unfolding some things in you and for you that you've not seen. For the Lord says, I've wanted you to run a new race, and now I'm going to unfold the way for you to run. The Lord says, the way you've been going is about to shift. And in that shift, I am going to unfold, grab hold of, and pull you through some very narrow places. And you would say, Lord, I'm unsure about how I'm going, but in the midst of how you go, you will begin to accelerate. In the next 9 months, there will be an acceleration in your life, and you'll begin to move forward. So I say, get ready for what was folded up nice and clear and tight now is going to unravel, and you're going to say, now I can go through and into the new. Amen. Now, prophetically, see, God knows you individually, first of all. Write that down. He knows about you individually. Then he knows you corporately. How you gather together makes a major difference. See, remember all the tribes, that was a corporate group, and then that corporate group made up a whole. The third thing is, when prophecy comes, it comes territorially. The fourth thing is, after it comes territorially, it comes generationally. And so, when God gives one word, like you just saw, it begins to reverberate in through all the dimensions of the societal structure of an area. Now, what is going to happen beginning by 2012, here in May of 2012, I'll just be real specific. That's what my job is in the body of Christ. May 2012 is, there's going to be an explosion in the identity of God's people in China. Now, I believe here in Hong Kong, you have a freer expression over how to explode and start pouring out in a new way. Therefore, there'll be lots of changes in days ahead so you can pour out. I asked Sam, I said, how long have you been here? Because I thought I'd heard the Lord say for me to do this for you. He said, 7 years. Now, what that means is you have hit one plateau, but now there's this reforming of vision going on, and now vision will start to break out, and you will start to pour out. Let's thank God for that as you move forward. Now, this is what we've been going through. Because of this forming, we have to break out of our conventional ways of thinking. Notice I have the same harvest field here as you have right here. That means you're going to have to break out of your conventional ways of thinking so you can go in and be ready, forming a wineskin to reap. We are entering 7 years of reaping in a new way. God has prepared you to be key in that. He's forming you. You're all probably going through something. Is anybody going through anything? See? You're going through something. You're trying to say, you know, I feel like I'm changing. I'm not sure what I'm doing. I'm not sure what's happening in me. It's because the Lord is shifting your way of thinking. Now, I'll share more about that tomorrow night for us. Now, in this, you have been changing your identity over the last 7 years. Now, Pastor Sam, you and Lisa, you have to get ready, and the leadership here, because the identity of what you've been about now is going to shift into a new way. Now, watch how this metamorphosis works. See, you get into a place, you start off one way, you get sort of confined in a place where you're forming. Look around, we're pretty confined here. You get confined in a place where you're forming. And then you start breaking out inside that place you've been forming all along. But really, you can't express who you are in that small, confined place. So God's got to do something to break you out of that confined place. I think that's why I'm here. You look good inside the confined place, but it's too cramped. So he's got to do something to get you out of it. Because actually, it's not a real pretty process coming out of it. But yet, you've got to break out. Tell somebody, I am ready to break out. Now, because you've got an identity that hadn't ever fully been seen yet. God's been working on it for 7 years. But it's not fully expressed. You're a good example of it. Same thing. All right? But your identity in the new season is going to be much better and much more expressive than you have seen in the last season. In other words, you might have started off one way, but you're going to look a totally different way as you start breaking out. And again, I'm going to reiterate by May 2012. God says it's time to spread your wings. It's time to move forward in new ways. Now, here's the reason. Because we have entered a season to change the atmosphere around us. Not just the atmosphere when we gather together to worship, but the atmosphere of where we have been positioned for our future. That atmosphere in our life. And then in the sphere of authority that God's given us. Now, spheres of authority, Paul talks about in the context of warfare in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And the sphere of authority has a functional rule about it. See, Larry has a sphere of authority spiritually, but he has great authority where he works. Now, just because he works out into a structure in the world doesn't mean he can leave his kingdom culture behind. So what God is doing now in this season in the body of Christ, and this is why I think China is so important and Hong Kong is particularly important, is he's using us to learn how to express the kingdom culture wherever we've been positioned. And God's using us in that, in every cultural aspect of our society. In other words, in the mountain we're living on, we need to spread our wings and express who we are. And if we'll do that on earth, the land will change. And just as God said to Joshua, we'll start occupying every place we're at. And before long, you see a spiritual move going on within the territory you're in. Now, let me show you one more thing, then Robert's going to come up. I believe we have entered a wineskin that is just not going to touch society, but this wineskin is preparing to pour out the glory of God in a way we've not seen the glory of God. Now, I want to go back to what Sam, before Robert comes, what Sam said about me when he met me in a prayer room. When I was 18, God visited me for 3 days. Now, in that visitation, he revealed a glory realm to me. I mean, I was in the presence of God. In 1978, he visited me again. That visitation was so penetrating with the glory of God for 4 hours that when I came out from that visitation, it was hard for my wife to recognize me. Because I was in the business world, I was driven like many of us are when we're out in the world accomplishing things. And when I came out, it was hard for her to recognize even the look I had. This is what I want to say to you. When the glory of God enters you in a new way, He does something inside of you that hell cannot pull out. Doesn't matter what warfare you go through. The glory is deeper and hell can't touch it. Now, because of that, you are activated to be what you are to be in the world, but not of the world. And so I want to say to you, now I see that God is preparing that to happen beginning this year in the body of Christ. In a way, we've had moves of the Spirit, but we have never had the penetrating glory that's going to start coming into us this year. Now, I want Robert to come and show us a couple of things that will help you better relate biblically to how this glory is going to start moving. Then I'm going to come back, share one thing with you, what God spoke to me, and then I'm going to impart it prophetically into you tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Chuck. And let's keep that last picture up there because that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about preparing for the glory. You know, one of the, as we've looked at Glory of Zion, we believe it's very important to understand where we are prophetically, to understand what the Spirit of God is doing in the days that we live in. And as Chuck and I met together and pondered what the Spirit was saying about this year that we have come into, one thing that was very clear is God is saying this is a year for His glory. This is a time when God wants His glory to be manifested among His people. You know, God's glory is really just His manifest presence. It is when His presence comes and dwells among His people in a way that we can tangibly discern. And historically, whenever that has happened, whenever God's presence dwells within His church in a tangible way, what that's called is revival. It means the life of God has come back into His body. The word revive means to restore to life. So when God's presence, when God's glory dwells among us, we're in revival. The church changes, the world changes. It affects the territory. It changes our atmosphere. And so the question is, if this is a season when God wants His glory to be manifested, how do we get the glory? How do we prepare ourselves to be a place that can host the glory of God in Hong Kong? How can we host the glory of God in our churches, in our home? And there's been a lot of study about that. One of the, I'm sure you're familiar with the Tabernacle of David. That's one of the crucial biblical principles for establishing God's glory. And that was that the Tabernacle of David, David brought the ark out of Moses' tabernacle, set it in a tent in Jerusalem, and there surrounded it with praise and worship 24 hours a day. And God was literally enthroned on the praises of his people. And that's a biblical principle. Whenever we praise God, his glory comes and meets with us. But when we praise God continually, his presence comes and dwells in our midst. And so there's been a lot of teaching about the Tabernacle of David that's been very good, but it's not always been complete. And so what Chuck asked me to share about tonight is the warfare aspect of the Tabernacle of David. In other words, to bring and establish the presence of God on earth takes more than just getting together and singing praise songs. There is a warfare aspect to it that many have not understood. But wherever God wants to establish his presence, the enemy resists. And so people say, oh, we want the presence of God. We'll get together and praise God 24 hours a day. And suddenly they find themselves in a battle. They find suddenly that there are demonic entities in the territory that don't want God's presence established. And so we have to go through a process of warfare to really see God's glory in our midst. And again, we see that in David's tabernacle. You know, in David's day, the place God wanted his presence manifested was the city of Jerusalem. It's also called the Salem. It was also called Zion. It had been a place where the true God was worshipped for centuries before David's day. Back in Genesis chapter 10, we see Melchizedek was there. He was the king of righteousness. He was a priest of the Most High God in the city of Salem. So even in Abraham's day, Salem was a place where God's presence was manifested. But because God wanted his presence there, that meant Satan set himself to resist God. Wherever God wants, Satan will try to take. You know, God wants his glory to be in Hong Kong. That means Satan is going to actively try to establish his kingdom here. We see that in David's day, Jerusalem had been overrun by the enemy. The Jebusites had taken the city, and Israel found that they did not have the strength to retake it. In Joshua 15, Joshua tried to take the city of Jerusalem, but he couldn't do it. In Judges chapter 1, Israel attacked the city of Jerusalem. They tried to take it, but they could not hold it. In 2 Samuel 5, David and his men came out to take the city of Jerusalem. The Jebusites looked down over the wall and saw David and his men, and they laughed. They said, "You cannot take this city. The blind and the lame will keep you out of this city." You ever have that happen where you had a vision from God, you were going for it, and Satan just laughs at you? That's what David experienced. And so when God wants his presence established in your territory, what you need to see is there is a battle. There is a battle to see the glory established. In David's day, he came up to that place where God wanted his glory. He came up to the city of Jerusalem. The enemy was holding that place. The enemy laughed at him, but David had a strategy. 2 Samuel 5, he said, "To take Zion, we must go up through the water shaft." You know, God always has a strategy. Tell your neighbor, God always has a strategy. That doesn't mean it's easy. Now, what was the water shaft? Well, to understand what David meant when he said we must go through the water shaft, we need to understand something about Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem had only one reliable water source, and that was the Gihon Spring. It came out of the side of Mount Zion and flowed out into the Kidron Valley, which was a problem for the Jebusites, because there they were on top of the mountain, on top of Mount Zion, in a walled city, and the only access to water they had was outside the wall, which meant if someone came and besieged them, they would be left without water. So what the Jebusites did was this. They dug a tunnel down into the top of the mountain, out under the wall of the city, and then they sank a shaft, like a well, straight down through the solid rock of Mount Zion until it hit the underground river that fed the Gihon Spring. That was the water shaft. If you go to the city of David today, you can go walk down into that tunnel, and you can look at that narrow shaft that was sunk down into the waters of the Gihon. Now, see, David had grown up as a shepherd 15 miles from Jerusalem. He had been in that city many times. He knew about the water shaft. But see, the Jebusites thought no one would be crazy enough to try to come into the city through the water shaft. So they thought they were completely safe. But David said, the only way to get into the city is through the water shaft. Whoever goes up first, I will make the commander of my army. Joab says, this is definitely a crazy thing to do, but it might as well be me. And so that's what Joab did. Now, you got to think about what he did. Basically, he stood there at the foot of Mount Zion where the Gihon Spring was gushing out from underground. He would have had to dive fully armed into that stream, swim up into the underground river in total darkness, pushing against the force of the water. It would have been cold. It would have been dark. He had no idea how far he had to go. He would just be pushing against the current, feeling, trying to find where that shaft came down. Holding his breath, trying to stay alive long enough to get up. And finally, his hand breaks through and there's air. He's found the water shaft. And he pulls himself up into that narrow, narrow little shaft, and he begins to climb. He's soaking wet. He's cold. He's in total darkness. He has no idea how high he'll have to climb, but he puts his hand against the rock, and he begins to pull himself up. He goes higher and higher and higher. I'm sure there were times when his hand slipped and he almost fell, but he kept going. He can't see the top. Total darkness. But he just keeps going, and he keeps going. I looked down that shaft when I was in Jerusalem. It's a long way. How far? 35 feet. 35 feet, soaking wet in total darkness, not seeing where the handholds were, just feeling his way. Joab climbed up the water shaft. He got up to the top of the water shaft, made his way in total darkness through the tunnel, up into the city, overpowered the guards, opened the gate, and David took Jerusalem. Now, if you want to get an idea of what it takes to see the glory of God in a territory, you think about Joab climbing the water shaft. See, that is what the battle for the glory is like. If your goal is to just find a nice, comfortable church to go to, you will never see the glory of God established in your territory. God's glory is never established by doing what is easy, what is convenient, or what is comfortable. To establish God's presence on the earth requires a willingness to lay down your life for a goal that seems impossible. But the reward is the presence of God. Because once they took the city of Jerusalem, David was able to pitch his tent. And the Levites carried in the ark. And they surrounded it with praise 24 hours a day. And the glory of God came down and dwelt in their midst. That's what God wants to see in Hong Kong. God wants to see a people who will pay the price to press through the obstacles to win the warfare so that God's glory can be established here.
Amen. Now, flying over here on the plane, the Lord spoke something to me, and I believe you always have to, it's more than just being taught the principles and learning. You have to know what God is saying at a certain time to you. And like Robert was saying, you can't get too comfortable if you really want to press into the glory of God. However, look around and just look around. You're not going to be comfortable here much longer because it's crowded. So see, when God's moving, he'll move you out and move you in. Now, this is what the Lord said to me. I woke up and I beat because we were on the flight coming straight from L.A. And so I slept for a couple of hours and I awakened and I started praying for you. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I am calling them to train their hands for war. And you might say immediately, well, what does that mean? And we'll get into that, but tonight it's key that you understand. Train your hands for war. That was a phrase David used because God made him a key warrior, king, and he knew how to shoot the bow. Now, what does that mean to us practically now? It means that you are headed into a season of knowing how to use the Word of God in a way that no generation has known how to use the Word of God here in this great nation called China. And to use that word to establish God's presence in a new way. You will be violent in praise, violent in expression of worship when you come together. But then you'll go out and you'll know in every aspect of society what to say, when to say it, so that the favor of this, of God's kingdom plan, rests upon you in this nation. Now, in what God showed me in 86, he showed me you affecting the world more than any other nation by the year 2016. And so, because of that, I believe the wineskin that is now forming in China will not only touch. Now, when I came to Hong Kong, I went to Beijing. I've been to Shanghai. I saw a tremendous triangle of how God was going to move mightily in this nation in establishing his glory. And so my word to you is get ready. He is going to train your hands for war. You will be very skillful in using the Word of God. Therefore, the teaching will accelerate, your deliverance will accelerate, but your demonstration will also accelerate. Now, that is an Old Testament phrase, but let me end tonight from Mark chapter 1. Thanks, Brian. And tomorrow I'll share more and I will prophesy. While Robert was teaching, it's very difficult sometimes because, again, when you're at the right place at the right time and you know what God's saying, all of a sudden you see how to speak in to the life, which we're going to stand up in a moment, and I'm going to do that. Now, here in chapter 1, what that's going to look like was when Jesus started his wineskin. Remember, John had a wineskin. Jesus then made a transition into a new wineskin. I want you to start thinking the language of the Bible. I want you to start thinking how it works. Wineskin is structure. In other words, the structure of God's kingdom plan. Part of that structure is the church, how we gather. That's what church means. Ecclesia, it means a gathering group. It also is strategeo, a gathering group who knows how to war. You are being called in a new way to understand the war over God's glory and how that glory can penetrate the society of this nation. Now, the thing you must understand is you're going to be sent out from this nation and received in every nation of the earth. So like America was at one point, you will be the apostolos nation for the future, the mission nation of the future that is penetrating the earth in ways that no other nation or people could penetrate. And what does it mean, train your hands for war? Because look what happened when Jesus began his ministry. And this is what I want to show you here. He first begins in Galilee, and he begins to preach. Write that down. There will come a new anointing on the preaching and teaching of God's leaders beginning, and you will see a visible, tangible anointing begin to manifest by May of next year. And the sending capacity of places like this will then begin to explode. He then called his disciples. The Lord says, get ready. You're going to start calling in new people. You'll be at your workplace and you'll say, come, go with me. I know a place you can go and worship. The worship is going to shift where you come at certain times and you just begin to worship here. You don't have preaching, you have worship gatherings throughout this city, and you move in worship, vibrant worship. I want to prophesy and say you will quadruple from violent worship from where you are now, and then you will double again with worshipers, where you're gathering and worshiping. Then notice he hits the church, Jesus does. And when he hits the church, the synagogue, what he does is he astonishes them with his teaching in the synagogue. In other words, the religious structure will start taking notice by the end of next year that there is a new move of God going on in this region. And in the midst of it, he cast out a demon from one of the religious leaders. That creates big problems. That's what it means to handle the word carefully. The word is going to become your vocabulary. It will work in business to prosper you. It will work in ministry in the synagogue to cleanse it and to create a demonstration. The Lord says, here in China, I will train your hands to war so you know how to pull back the bow and shoot my word forth. The Lord says, many will not even know that it is me speaking to them. I will make you so skillful with the word that you will be sitting in meetings and speak, and the favor will then rest on you for the future. The Lord says, get ready. I am going to start training my people in the nation of China, their hands to war. I'm going to start favoring them, and they will shoot my word in ways and enter into places that no other people or culture group could ever get into. Finally, then, he goes and he heals one of the disciples' mother-in-law. And when he does that, the noise about him starts breaking out. The last thing I want to say is there is a healing move that is coming to this land, breaking loose in God's people, and even the Buddhists will come to find healing under the hand of God. The Lord says, get ready. The Spirit of God now is forming a new wineskin. You will become a model here at Solomon's Porch. You will begin to expand. You will begin to send out. The Lord says you won't even do it conventionally the way other churches have done it. You will start forming and forming and forming again until what the glory at Solomon's Porch now begins to be sent throughout this entire nation and to other parts of the world. Let's stand up and let me thank God for what he's going to be doing here. Now let's just extend our hands into the heavens. Now, Father, I say, train the hands of this people for war. War simply means conflict. It doesn't mean anything else. It means you will overcome in your conflicts days ahead. And when persecution tries to stop you, you will have the right word and the right sound to overcome. Lord, I loose a new worship anointing to start turning in this place. I loose prophetic release. I decree that the spirit of revelation will rise up. I thank you, Lord, that the intercessory call will now come to this people in a new way. I thank you for simple childlike faith exploding. I thank you, Lord, that they're going to have ideas that others would never have. And Lord, they're going to be favored in ways. I thank you that they're going to know how to do the war dance, and they're going to know how to move in new ways. Father, we thank you that things now change at Solomon's Porch, and the porch expands, and a new glory starts coming. Father, I thank you that our hands and the hands of this people will now become skillful, and whatever they touch will begin to prosper in a new way. Now I want you to turn, put your hands on someone else's hands, and decree that they will now begin to be energized to prosper. That they will be able to send forth the word of God. That they will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will begin to recover. That they'll break out of old structures and be willing to grab hold of new things. Now, Father, we thank you now that Solomon's Porch, a new glory will now come. And this people will be known as those who wore the glory in China. In Jesus' name. Let's give a shout and thank God for what he's done. I'm going to have the team. I'll have the team right now.
Specifically the team that you're sending to China.
Right.
Okay. Won't you have a seat? Right? I don't know about you guys, man. I'm pretty happy I'm in Hong Kong right now. Just think, I could have been in the States, in California, going to the beach. What's up, man, you know? We're in Hong Kong. All of you guys are in Hong Kong. That's something, huh? I'm just so pumped. I'm sure you guys really resonated with a lot of the words that he shared. You know, we've been talking about a lot of this stuff for a while, and it's really awesome. But one thing we wanted to ask Chuck I think Chris is at work right now, huh? Is Chris here? He's at work. Okay, Amy, can you come up? And Sam Kim, Pastor Sam. So I told Chuck that we're actually planning our first church this summer in Beijing, right? And, Mary, why don't you come up as well? Right, so, and Chuck said he's going to go, so, right? So you guys know that we're still in the works and we're trying to figure all this stuff out, and it was really good. We don't know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen, you know, and things. And so Chris is at work, our other worship leader, and they're going to go like in February around, right? And then Sam's going to go in the summer, and Mary's already there right now. And then we're just really praying, and hopefully more of you guys will join in and whatnot. And so, Chuck, can you just bless them and pray for them and prophesy and all that good stuff?
All of you extend your hands this way. Craig, come on up, Chris, with me. Now, we're going to anoint them with a new oil that we just made for this year that called the Oil of Joy. It has some awesome stuff in it. But it's the anointing that really gets activated. Now, Sam, let me put some on you too. Well, I'm gonna leave you the whole bottle. We better put a little on this worship group. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, I thank you for how you're gonna be moving in a new way. Father, we thank you that Beijing is now going to make a shift. And Lord, I ask you to order the steps of this people. Lord, I know it's a different culture there and a different inroad and a different way. And Lord, I ask for supernatural assistance. I ask for Cyruses along the way. I ask for interaction with the churches that are already there working. Lord, I ask for a supernatural new covering to appear. I thank you, Lord, that they will be covered as they move forward. They will be covered as they go. And Lord, they will be able to establish a new form of worship in Beijing. Father, what has been, now we speak to it and we say, open up. Lord, I also decree that the old religious structure there will not resist, but embrace the new that you're bringing in. Father, and I thank you for wisdom. The word says David understood how to be wise. I say this group going into Beijing will now become wise to know where to step their feet, who to connect with, how to gain favor, how to call together gatherings, and how to release a sound that will break through government oppression. I decree a new governmental anointing coming upon this work, a new covering, and we decree that they will go forth, and old government structure will not be able to stop the new. Let's thank God for what he's doing. Now, I'm going to ask, maybe we can worship a little as we go, and then tomorrow we'll be ministering some more, and we'll be anointing some more, and then tomorrow night we'll continue. You are very key. I felt like this stop was very key for the future of how the Spirit of God would move in this region. I bless you. I thank God for you. And I ask that you enter in boldly with unconventional thought processes that will give you new ways in.
Let's rise together as we sing this song.
I'm gonna be a history maker in this land. I'm gonna be a speaker of truth to all mankind. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna run into your arms, into your arms.
Is it true today?
Is it true today that when people pray, cloudless skies will break? Kings and queens will shake. And yes, it's true. And I believe it, Lord. I'm living for you. Is it true today that when people pray, we'll see dead men rise and the blind set? And yes, it's true. And I believe it. I'm living for. Be a history maker in this land. I'm gonna be a speaker of truth to all mankind. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna run into your arms. Your arms. Well, it's true. Well, it's true today that when people stand with the fire of God and the truth in hand, we'll see miracles. We'll see angels sing. We'll see broken hearts making history. And yes, it's true. And I believe it. We're living for you. I'm gonna be a history maker in this land. I'm gonna be a speaker of truth to all mankind. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna run into your arms. Gonna be a history. I'm gonna be a history maker in this land. of truth to all mankind. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna stand. I'm gonna run into your arms. Oh, Lord, into your arms again. Into your arms. Stand, Lord, I'm gonna run into your arms. Oh, Lord, into your arms again. I'm gonna stand, I'm gonna stand, I'm gonna run into your arms. Yes, Lord, into your arms again, into your arms, into your arms, into your arms, oh. The one who gave it all. then my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours, oh Lord. I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul.
Let your glory fall.
as on that ancient day. Songs of enduring love, and then your glory came. And as a sign to you that we would love the same, our hearts will sing that song. God, let your glory come. You are good, you are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, your love endures today. You are good, you are good. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. Today, oh, voices in unison, voices in unison, giving you thanks and praise, joined by the instruments, and then your glory came. Your presence like a cloud upon that ancient day. The priests were overwhelmed because your glory came, Lord Jesus. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. You are good, you are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. A sacrifice was made, a sacrifice was made, and then your fire. They knelt upon the ground, and with one voice they prayed. A sacrifice was made. A sacrifice was made, and then your fire came. They knelt upon the ground. You are good, you are good, you are good, your love endures. You are good, you are good, your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Your love endures today. You are good, you are good, your love endures. You are good, you are good, your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Sing that again. You are good, you are good, you are good, You are good. Your love endures. You are good. You are good. Lord, your love endures. You are good. You are good. And your love endures today. Your love endures. You are good. You are good. Lord, your love endures. You are good. You are good. And your love endures today.
Today. Amen. We're going to head out soon, but we also want to just open up a little bit. And if you want to receive some prayer, or, you know, I imagine that you came tonight with some sort of a need. And so we want to minister to you as well. And so the worship team will lead us. And so if you want to just receive some prayer, and, you know, we have some very beautiful people that want to pray for you, or, you know, something is going on in your life, you know, you don't have to know what it is or whatnot. And so as team's coming, I'll dismiss you. Just come up to the front and we'll just minister to you for a while and ask for God's grace to come. Tomorrow night at the Island ECC, they're going to minister. I think Chuck said the whole team's going to come out and lay hands on people, anoint. So, you know, if you were expecting that tonight, it's going to happen tomorrow night. And then all the books, and he was so gracious, he actually just gave it to the church. And so if you buy something, it's just going to go into our building fund, okay? So it's a win-win, you know? So it'd be a shame if there's books left on that table, you know, or CDs tonight, because it all goes into our building fund, okay? And so let me pray, and we'll just dismiss you. And if you want to receive some prayer, just come up to the front, and we have a team here that will minister to you and just love on you and just speak words over your life, right? So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you for the ministry, Lord, and just the word, God, spoken over to us. Yeah, we don't think that we're anything special, God, and we're just a church, God, just like many churches in Hong Kong, Lord, and we don't want to get prideful or anything like that, God, but we believe, Lord, there is a destiny, God, and we believe, Lord, that there is a reason why you've gathered us here from all over the world, Father, and tonight, God, Chuck gave us a little glimpse, God, of what that's like and what that means, and so, God, we embrace the call over our lives, God, corporately as a church, Lord. We embrace the sending out, Father God, and the blessing, Lord, that you want to do through us, God. And so come, God, and just touch us even more, Father God, individually, God, that you can just empower us corporately as well, Father. We thank you, Lord. Be with us. I know even some of us have to go back to work tonight, God, and let there just be a lot of grace over us, God. Give us rest, and as we come into a new day tomorrow and tomorrow night, God, and some in the afternoon, Lord, let it just be just a wonderful time of refreshing for us as a body, God. We also want to just lift up our friends, God, that are going through different things, God, that maybe feel like they're in that cocoon, God, as we saw on the slide, Father. And we pray that even tonight, God, as we minister to our friends, God, that there be a relief, God, and an understanding, God, and wisdom and revelation that flows. We thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So have a wonderful night. If you want to get prayed for, just come up to the front, right? And we'll lay hands on you and ask the Lord to bless you tonight.